Hi, welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Podcast. My name is Cam O'Brien. This is my beautiful partner, Casey Singh, and we are the co-hosts of this podcast. We are also the co-founders of Pure Forward Media, and today we're speaking with a very special guest.
Yeah, today we'll be speaking with Chris Stafford. He is the author of a book called Massive Abundance and the founder of an incredible collective called The Agent Unleashed. We'll be diving into brain hacking, morning routines, and really how to cultivate joy to see success in all areas of your life.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
So the big question is this: how do real estate pros like us who didn't go to school for marketing sell our services in a truly authentic way, get connected with the right people at the right time, and still grow our businesses? That is the question, and this podcast will give you all the answers. Welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Podcast.
Okay, so brain hacking, selling houses, and taking your real estate career to the next level. You might be wondering what these things have in common. Well, you're about to find out. Our special guest today is not just any regular agent. He's a seasoned one. He's been a listing agent in the industry for over 25 years. He's one of the top performing real estate brokers in the Bay Area, and he calls himself an eternal optimist. He's also committed to really empowering agents all over the world, helping them overcome their fears and brain hacking their way to success through his mastermind, Agent Unleashed. And it gets even better. He's the best-selling author of Massive Abundance, where he elegantly shares how to create passion, purpose, and prosperity in our lives. His loving energy, his compassion, his kindness, and commitment to being of service is absolutely magical. And I'm so grateful to have connected with him. Please welcome Christopher Stafford to the REM podcast.
Thanks so much, Casey. My God, I want to know that guy.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here today and joining us. It's honestly such a pleasure to have you and to have connected with you. So we're really excited for you to be here.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So tell me now, I know I said a lot in that introduction, and of course to everyone listening, there's a lot. So we could begin with any area. We could start with real estate, brain hacking, service, personal development. We could literally take this in any direction. So why don't we start with this? Why don't we start with your story? Tell us about how this reality, so to speak, came into existence, and what's your why behind all of that?
Yeah, something that I could talk about for 4 hours, Casey, so just cut me off. But, one of the things that I found is I started off in life as a CPA, worked for PricewaterhouseCoopers. I did that for 11 years. I hated it. I absolutely hated my job. And, sometimes like guys, I'm not that quick on the uptake. It took me 11 years to figure out that I really wanted to do something I felt passionate about. Went into real estate. A buddy of mine got me into real estate, which has always been one of my passions. And I was working my tail off. And, working 15 hours a day, and I was abusing my body, and I was drinking too much and not eating well. But the bottom line is, they always say, don't worry about things that are your brain manufactures in your head. It's those random phone calls at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday. And that's what happened to me. About 10 years ago, my partner of 17 years was diagnosed with brain cancer. And I got this call at, Tuesday at 4 o'clock, and I was just like, oh my God. So, you could have pushed me over with a feather, knock on wood, thank God, 10 years now, totally in remission. So we're super grateful for that. But just something like that, spending a year in the hospital, going through kidney dialysis and chemo and radiation, all that kind of stuff, will change your world a little bit. And it certainly changed mine. And out of that, I think, was sort of like the genesis of creating this book, Massive Abundance, and really just asking myself, what is really important in life? And, obviously it makes you pause. And so I wrote the book, Massive Abundance. And for me personally, one of the common threads I've had through my whole life is to helping others. I did that as a CPA. I'm doing that as a real estate agent currently right now, selling as a listing agent in San Francisco. And out of the book, the natural progression for me was, and my whole book is about helping others, and I could get into it if you're interested.
Absolutely.
But one of the genesis for that was going into helping other listing agents. And so I work with listing agents all over the country, coaching them, masterminding with them to become better agents. Because the thing, and it's the same thing that you guys are doing with this podcast, so I know that you guys totally get this, and that is helping others and educating others and helping them achieve their potential. I mean, that is the biggest high for me. I have so much passion and joy surrounding that. And, you know, all I have to do is just get on one call with somebody that where it clicks and they really see some huge improvement. And, you know, I'll tell you guys, I can live off of that for days. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's worth more than money. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, it really sounds like you have this, like, massive, like, transformation, like, something that, like, interrupted your way of thinking, your way of life. And I can honestly relate to that. This year has been that for myself. My mom got diagnosed with cancer, so that was, like, you know, for our family, like, a lot to go through and understand, as well as, like, the pandemic, of course. So I know that that's, like, maybe a lot of people are dealing with that right now, where, like, there's things that they've been doing and with agents, like, ways of being, conducting business, and then boom, life is like, this is not going this way.
Absolutely. Life has a way of just, like, sort of like saying, okay, time out. What's important? And it really makes you worry. You know, it makes you think about, you know, that deal that went south, or a seller yells at you, or, you know, something doesn't work out. It really puts things in perspective, if you know what I mean.
Totally.
It's just not that important, you know, in the whole scheme of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything you want to add to that, Cam?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those amazing things where when you have those monumentous events happen in your life that you know, for better or worse, come into your space, but then you're stronger because of it. Your relationship with that person is deeper. And then when you have those day-to-day occurrences that used to be these big things of a seller yelling at you, but now you're like, oh, this is, it's just this small aspect of my career, and I'm able to handle it much better.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that, and one of the other things that came out of it too, is I was just, you know, beating the hell out of my body, just working so much, being so stressed out, drinking too much, eating fast food. And so that was another big thing that I had this come to Jesus meeting. Okay. At the age of 61 years old right now, you know, you can't keep doing that. You know, the days of, you know, when you're 30 years old and you can have five Manhattans a night and get 6 hours of sleep and keep moving on the next day. That's not happening when you're 61 years old. And so, you know, especially for all of us entrepreneurs, our health has got to be the number one priority. Your health has got to be more important than your business, your partner, your kids, everything. Because if you don't have your health, as we all know, guess what? We are out of luck.
Yeah, health is wealth. And literally, like, it's like shown time and time again. And people, for me, like, my whole career, I've, like, heard people talk about this, but I didn't really understand it until this year, until seeing my mom go through something so, like, intense, like, right in front of me, loses all her hair. Everything's just, like, completely, her career, everything's wiped. She can't move, get out of bed. I'm sure, obviously, you've spent a year in a hospital with your partner, and you've seen they can't do anything, no matter how much money's in the bank, no matter how successful their career was or how many clients they had, that doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So it's like huge. And like for us, like being really like intentional about our health, that's something we put into place in the last couple months. Like even like bedtime, for example, like going to bed at like 9 o'clock, like technology is off. Winning. Yeah.
It's such a great point, because one of the things I found is that all of us, myself included, it's so easy to lead an unconscious life. And, you know, we're all of us are working 100 miles an hour. We're just doing all the family, balancing everything. And to take that time and to really take time during the day and figure out, okay, what am I eating? What do I want to eat? Be really conscious about it. How do I want to talk to that person? And I think that's a big job for all of us, really, because the thing is if you don't take the time to really take time throughout your day to sort of like figure out what's going on. You know, life's going to happen like that. It's going to be the end of the year already. You're going to miss everything. And so that's one of the things that I've always really been into, is like really, especially first thing in the morning. I think morning routines are so key. First thing in the morning to really take the time to either meditate or pray or whatever it is that you're into, but just take some quiet time to really reflect about what's going on in your life. That's the key for me. And I have this whole routine in the morning that if I don't do the routine, it's not a pretty day for me.
I'm sure we're both wondering, what is your morning routine?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, my morning routine is, God, and I'm pretty boring about this too, but isn't that what routines are? They're boring,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
Routines are good. I get up in the morning. The first thing I do is I meditate for 20 minutes. And then I used to go to the gym. I was a big swimmer. Can't go to the pool right now because it's closed. So now I do yoga poses and sit-ups and push-ups here at my place here in San Francisco. And then I go for a five-mile walk every morning.
That's great.
Then I come back after that, and then I have a nutritious breakfast. And then I go through and I actually write my goals out. I mean, people think I'm crazy for doing this, but I actually have a journal where – I literally write out my goals. You got the same thing. I love it.
I don't know if you can see it. It's a bit bright. But yeah. We got our bullet journals and it.
I love it.
Yeah.
And I do that every single morning with the affirmations and goals. And then I start prospecting as a real estate. So I'm looking for new listings. I've been doing this for over 25 years and still I am prospecting every single morning, generally between 8:30 and 10:30.
That's such a huge message for, especially for new people starting out, because that's something that we hear. They're like, oh, when I get to that level, then I can leave this prospecting behind. It's like, no, this is like, learn to love it. Like, this is an important part of the business. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the rest of my day is sort of like all over the board. So it's, for me, it's really critical to have that time to really develop the strength of my day up front and then get the prospecting done right up front. Because in the rest of it, you know, especially in the afternoons, you know, you people are pulling and yanking at you and appointments and all that kind of stuff. So I'm usually on my morning schedule 80% of the time. In the afternoon, all over the board.
That's great. Well, I mean, it's really amazing. And I acknowledge you, Chris, for kind of putting this routine into place and pivoting in the event of like not being able to go to the pool and adding something else in. You know, people these days, and I'm guilty of this myself sometimes, is really being busy. And just kind of like not doing the morning routine and then just kind of being pulled any which way the entire day. Whereas when you really have that routine and you give yourself that time in the morning and you're intentional with your morning, then inevitably the rest of your day becomes intentional as well.
Absolutely. You know, and it took me a really long time. I'm glad you guys are much younger than I am, but it took me a really long time to figure this out because, you know, all of us, like I said, are going 100 miles an hour and very rarely are we really taking the time to sort of figure out, okay, what's going well in our lives? What's not going well? What can I improve? You know, most of us are not taking that time. And that's what I love to do in the morning. And the fact that you guys are doing it too, that's amazing.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And, you know, and I love the analogy that you have of everyone's going 100 miles an hour. And I think that what we're doing, the people that have the morning routine that are really taking care of themselves, they're the people that wake up in the morning, go out to their beautiful car and tune the engine and make sure everything's working fine, do the walk around, make sure the tires are in good condition, and then get on the highway and start ramping up to 100 miles an hour and then go. And they can ultimately do that for years to come. And it's the people that aren't looking after the vehicle that run into problems later.
Absolutely. Because you're taking care of yourself first, spiritually and physically. And that's going to go for, like you said, you can do that for a really long time. And the days that I don't do that,
you feel it.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. I'm like, my whole day is totally messed up.
Totally. I was going to say, like, you know, we're talking about these routines and having systems and bullet journals, but we only could get to this place from the contrast we've experienced in the past of not having this, of drinking, of eating foods that weren't the best for us, of not having schedules. So like for whoever's listening, like, you know, it's not that there's a perfect way to do it, but it's just like, you got to just check into your life and see, well, what's not working for me and what is it that I want to implement? Cause like, this is not, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is not going to happen like overnight, like having a journal, having a routine, being clear and doing all these things. Cause that's what a lot of people maybe initially start with. And then they get burnt out. Cause they're like, this is not sustainable for them where they're at.
Yeah. I would emphasize that to anybody listening to this podcast, that routines are where you're going to be successful. It's because of your routines that you're going to be successful. And take the time, have fun with it and play with it. What's good for me, you know, my routine in the morning may not be good for anybody else. And that's the cool thing about it, is that you can really take the time to figure out what is going to be good for you in terms of your morning routine. And sometimes, like you said, I mean, it could take days, months, years for people to get into their really cool morning routine. And sometimes, like you said, you got to pivot too. But having a routine, that's where the dollars is going to be. I mean, if you want a successful business, I don't care if you're in a real estate business or any entrepreneurship business, that's where the dollars are going to be. All the success is going to be in your routines. I mean, that's why everybody makes fun, because I wear these stupid black t-shirts. But if you look at me online, I wear these stupid black t-shirts every single day. Exactly. Because that's one less decision I have to make in the morning. It's like Steve Jobs always wearing that black turtleneck. You know, he always said, you know, the more routines that you have in your life, the more you can focus your creative energies on doing whatever it is that, you know, brings you joy in life.
Exactly. Totally. Well, and I think that's such an amazing thing that you've shared, Chris, about the power in that morning routine, because it's true that you develop your own routine over time, and it's not something that just happens overnight. And it's really the only time in the day that is truly yours, that you can craft and create just for you. And then, you know, of course, to anyone who's listening, it's not like you do that morning routine and then it's like the rest of your day is amazing. It's that when the things come up that are normally really tough to deal with, that are super unexpected, you have the tools and you're centered enough to approach those from a good place.
Excellent. That's an excellent synopsis. You're hired.
Done. That's awesome. So let's move a little bit into brain hacking, because obviously 80% of your day starts with, or like 80% of your success comes from your routines. And it's about like fine tuning your mind and your spirit and your energy body. Like what is brain hacking, and what does that have to do with your success and in your career?
Yeah, well, to me, in my own mind, you know, I love the fact that you quoted that, because, you know, 80% of success for me is really, it's not really strategy. It's about figuring out your mindset. And if you can, like, and this is a great segue from what we were talking about, when you're doing your morning routine and you can get your mindset correct, get that on straight, then the rest of it, 20% of it's just strategy. I mean, that's just all tactics. And so I think that, you know, having the mindset is really cool. And the easiest way to do that for me is little brain hacks, little tricks to get my mindset going in the morning. Because I always have to trick myself to do stuff.
Of course.
You know, like for instance, doing affirmations, writing out your goals. That's a real simple brain hack to just sort of get you, you know, in the mood. One other thing that I do that I think it's the greatest thing that everybody can do about anything, whether not even just prospecting if you're a real estate agent, but, you know, starting something new that you want to try to take on a new skill. I'm trying to learn Spanish because we're moving to Panama. And I take little steps, and developing, taking little steps, number one, is a great way to start something new. And also number two, and I'm working with my coaching clients doing this all the time, is develop minimum standards for yourself. Minimum standards where you can put something into a place, put something into effect, and just take super baby steps doing it and saying to yourself, I have got to do this every day. For instance, one of the gals I'm working with right now on the East Coast, and she wants to start doing expireds. She wants to start working expired listings and calling expireds, and she's really freaked out about doing it. And I says, okay, well, let's just take this little bit at a time. We'll take little baby steps to get you to start calling expireds. But then let's develop a minimum standard that you're going to call. And she develops this for me. Okay, I don't tell her what she's going to do. I says, you tell me how many expireds could you call? And I make it so easy that you know that you could do it. I don't care if your husband leaves you, your house blows up, and your dog dies. If on that particular day, how many could you call? And she said, well, I can call two. And I says, great, two expireds. That is your minimum standard. That's all you have to do. And so, you know, calling two expireds or just doing something so small that you know that you're building yourself up for success every single day. And guess what? That breeds confidence. That breeds comfort. And once you start doing two a day and you get that comfortable doing it, guess what? You're going to want to start doing more. So things like that are little brain hacks that you can sort of trick your body, trick yourself into starting a new project or starting something that you're really fearful about. And it's easy. Whatever I got to do, man, to get myself going, I'll do it.
I love that.
That's great.
Wow. Yeah. It's like what we say to ourselves and to our clients as well, is like 1% a day. That's all. Like 1% a day better. And what you just said really added like a lot of practical application to it. It's like, what's your 1%? My 1% can look different. And of course, over the past, you know, several years, it's changed. Mm-hmm. I have different expectations for ourselves and our business and our fitness. But 5 years ago, it was just like, you know, don't eat like McDonald's or don't have a drink or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Now it's like to the next level of what that looks like for us.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I think that, you know, it's like me starting meditating. I wanted to meditate about 5 years ago and I thought, you know, I couldn't sit still. I couldn't calm my mind even for a minute. Mm-hmm. And so I had a minimum standard just to sit there for 1 minute. And that's how I started meditating. And now I'm up to 20 minutes a day, which is perfect for me. And I love meditating because it really centers me and grounds me. And so many successful people around the world have some kind of meditative practice. But when I first started off, I couldn't do that. You know, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. Right.
Well, it's funny. Back in 2019, Casey and I traveled through California for about 6 months.
Yeah.
And for 3 of those months, we stayed in a spiritual community outside the mountains of
Sacramento.
Yeah. In the mountains outside Sacramento. Called Ananda Village. And for our 3 months there, we learned meditation, yoga, studied the Bhagavad Gita. And we went from
3 months there.
Yeah. We were literally, our routine was like, we weren't running like a full-time business at the time. We were doing like freelance work, but basically we essentially woke up at like 5 or 6. We had a 90-minute, it's called a sadhana or like a spiritual practice in the morning. So it was like 60 minutes of yoga, then 30-minute meditation in the morning. Then 12 to 12:30, another meditation before lunch. Then 3 to like 4:30, again, same thing as the morning. And it was like, we did that consecutively. But at the beginning, we were like, how are we gonna do it? But we knew we needed to put ourselves in the environment where like we wanted to catapult our success.
And, it's one of those things when, you know, you're sitting in a 30 to 90 minute meditation and everyone else there has been doing this for years sitting there, you're like, well, I guess I'm just going to sit here and do it. And at a certain point, you kind of develop the muscle. But and it's amazing. One of those things where, you know, environment is in so many ways stronger than willpower. Sure. Because after that, I mean, we're not doing 90 minute meditations today. We're doing 15 or 20 minutes in the morning because that's what's good for us.
And it works for our routine now. Exactly. Like our life looks different. Yeah.
But kudos to you, man. That's like 3 months. I went on a yoga retreat and a meditation retreat for a weekend. And at the end of the weekend, I was like,
Yeah,
I think it's just one of those things that like, it was like this calling for us. We're like, we know we need to do this.
Uh-huh.
And we seeked it out. We like found the place and we just went. And it was a exchange program. So we worked there and were of service and also learned to meditate.
Yeah.
So, I mean, from that moment, that experience, we learned so much and now we like keep it with us forever. It's like going back to that center. Obviously, it doesn't look the same every day and we're, you know.
That's great. That's great. I think that it's just amazing that you did that. 3 months, wow.
Well, let's say we were passionate about it, so it was important to us.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where at the end of our time there, we really got clear. It was like we knew that we needed to run a business, that we knew that we needed to make the impact on the world.
Yeah.
We really got clear about what our life meant. And so like when we're talking about these things and we had this clarity that came to us maybe earlier in our years than many other people, we attribute a lot of that to that introspective time during those 3 months.
Sure. Everything positive comes out of stuff like that. No doubt. There's no question at all.
It's challenging though, because you really face yourself. And I'm sure you've seen this over the years. You like come to terms with the shit, so to speak. You're just like, man, this is hard, or man, I messed up, or whatever. But you learn to be compassionate with yourself and just not let it get to you.
Absolutely. No doubt. No doubt. I love it.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, I want to move into more about your book. So like I read a little bit of it. I think it was really exciting. And I want to, you know, have this opportunity for you to share what is passion, you know, because you talk a lot about that in the book and about you talk about helping people get connected with their passion. What does that mean to you? And how do you think it propels or inhibits people in their lives and their search for greatness?
Passion. So I think passion to me is something that really brings you joy. What is it that really brings you joy in your life? And I think it's something that would certainly enforce anything that you wanted to accomplish in your life. And it's been my feeling that, and I'll tell you what my mother's definition of Chris's passion is. My mother says, oh, hey, Chris has another hair up his butt about something.
As so many entrepreneurs are seen to be, right?
Oh, they're that's right.
Passionate about that.
But, so figure out what you're passionate in life. I think it goes right along with joy. I think that us as humans, we have one job in this world, and that is to figure out what brings us joy. And I think that passion is part of that. I think happiness is BS. It's so esoteric, you can't really sort of judge that. But when you can get into a state of joy, I think from that point, I think you can do anything in the world, anything that you want. And as part of that getting into joy, I really think that developing, finding out what your passion is, and then figuring out how you want to implement that into your life. Everybody, generally speaking, that I've met has some kind of passion, something that gets them really excited that they can't stop thinking about. The biggest thing that I run up against is a lot of times, and I talk about this in the book, is that a lot of times you can't necessarily make money from it. And so a lot of these soothsayers are saying, okay, find your passion and do that and make money from it. Well, sometimes, my business partner, for instance, his passion is cooking. The guy is, he has no formal training and he is like the greatest chef I've ever met. He can't figure out how to make money from it. He doesn't necessarily want to figure out how to make money from it. But he can do some things with his passion to reinforce other areas of his life, including our business, because we're going to start getting back to inviting our clients to dinners. And he just makes the best dinners. So
that's amazing.
I think it's vitally important to find out what your passion is. And because I think that's a key component of finding out what your joy is in life.
So what I'm really hearing is it's not that your passion has to be real estate and it has to be the thing that you're gung-ho about, but maybe there's an element of your business that you really or an element of just in your life that you're passionate about, connecting with people, sharing their stories, sharing their whys or whatever that is, and incorporating that into your career or your vehicle of monetary exchange, so to speak.
Absolutely. No, it's interesting you say that because we have a real estate agent here in the Bay Area, and his passion is, what do you call, jumping out of a plane? What do you call it? Skydiving.
Skydiving. Oh, this one over here.
I've been 16 times.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Jeez, that's crazy. Kudos to you, man.
I know. Okay. I've been none. I'm not yet.
But you know what he does is he actually talks a lot about it, and he makes a part of his real estate marketing. He talks a lot about it. He writes about it a lot. He blogs a lot, and he's taken clients up with him.
Wow.
And so he's really used his passion to really enhance his real estate business. So you're spot on, Casey. I mean, I totally agree that, finding out what's your passion. I think it's really important to find your passion and do it, because obviously it's going to make life a lot more interesting.
Right.
Opposed to you just sort of sitting on a couch watching television all day.
For sure.
Right.
What I'm hearing.
A way to sort of meld it with your business. Absolutely. That's
yeah. Good. Yeah. It's what I'm hearing is almost you have this cup in your life, this passionate experience, and you fill this cup in your life. And whether or not that passion mingles with your business, you're still coming into that entrepreneurial space with that cup filled with that passion and that joy. And then you're able to bring that energy into your work.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things, one of my biggest passions is, helping these other real listing agents. And every single call, as soon as I'm off this, I have a call that I have to talk to a listing agent, and she's having some issues with her personal life. And I'm helping her through some issues with her personal life. And she's making such great progress. And when I get off these calls, guys, I swear to God, I'm floating on cloud nine for 3 days. What I mean?
I love that.
Yeah, it brings me so much joy, and it brings me so much amazing gratitude, really.
It's real estate and being a listing agent is definitely part of your career, and where your passion lies is, of course, in that, but also the minutiae of helping others get to that place and helping others become those agents that they know they're capable of.
Absolutely. And you touched on something else too, which I just want to briefly say something about listening. One of the things that I think is really super important is when you're helping others and when you're trying to be a really good real estate agent and trying to be the best listing agent that you can be, is that you really have to cultivate listening. Your listening skills have to be key. And a lot of times, most of us, a lot of lot of us are filled with hot air, and we don't like to walk into a listing presentation and say, "Hey, look at me! I drive a Mercedes. I have a $5,000 suit. I'm cool. I'm the best number one in this neighborhood," and blah blah blah. You know what? That's not how you're going to get listings. You know, you really need to go in there with a solid listing presentation, so you know it off script, and then listen to these people. You know, when these sellers are, I talk about this all the time, when you go and meet with a seller, these sellers are interviewing, say, three or four other real estate agents. They're not going to remember that you drove a fancy car or had a great suit or that you're number one in the neighborhood. They're going to remember how you made them feel. And the best way to do that is to listen to them. Listen to them, interact with them, talk to them about their fears, their motivations, their desires, what are they most concerned about in selling their home. That's really what you want to, you know, talk about when you're meeting with sellers, because that is how you are going to build rapport with the sellers, and that's how you're going to get them to feel really comfortable with you. And I just had an experience just recently where I was an 80-year-old couple was selling their condo in San Francisco and moving back to New York, which is where they're from, and I've moved across the country a few times, and so we spent probably 5 minutes talking about marketing and comps, and we spent 20 minutes, most of my listing presentations are like 30 minutes. We spent 20 minutes just talking about, okay, what all the insecurities about moving across country and in the age of COVID and flying and moving stuff back and forth and what can go wrong and all that kind of stuff. And we had the greatest time talking about how to all surrounding the move itself and not so much talking about the marketing and the price. And I got the listing, and I maybe I'm deluding myself to think that I've sort of built rapport with them, but I think that's really the way to go.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, we're way beyond the age of just transactional meetings. And
yes.
I think that you are hitting the nail on the head that you need to have that relationship, that rapport, because really the only time people are ever going to do business with you is if they know, like, and trust you. And that's what you're doing. You're building that connection.
Absolutely. I mean, look at the next time that, once everybody has vaccines and we go to a big cocktail party, go walk it. I mean, when's the last time you've been to a party and anybody really walked up to you and started asking you questions about yourself? Nobody does that. Everybody's so egotistical. They want to tell you how much money they have, where they vacation, this and that. I mean, I've been to so many parties. I've been to so many dinners where, and I joke about it now because I come back and I think, tell my partner, you know, not one person asked me one question about my life, you know, and so when you do ask questions, people remember that, make them
totally
important. You make them feel heard. It's the greatest way to build rapport. I'm telling you, it's the greatest way to get listings.
Yeah. And it's a great way to do business. Like, I think back to, I used to work in the wholesaling industry with real estate investors. And I remember I went to a convention. This was my first convention. And I met an investor and we started talking. And I asked him, I was like, you know, like, why do you do this? Like, why do you do what you do? You could be doing anything. And I just literally had that conversation. And he told me about his family and the struggles he was dealing with his, you know, disabled younger brother and all these things. And 2 weeks later, there was a house on the market. I showed it to him and I was like, hey, I think this would be really great up your alley. And then basically we did business together, and it was like, he bought over asking like significantly, but it was like at that point, and what you talk about passion and connection, it almost seems like there's no friction in the deal or in the business transaction, so to speak. It's just very like, it's the next logical step. Mm-hmm. Like, I like this person. They care about me. I care about them. Let's just exchange energy and do business together.
Yep. And that's, I mean, people want to do business with people they know, like, and trust, right? And that's really what it's about. And as an offshoot to that too, another cool thing, if you have agents listening, I just had a client who said to me, how do I try to expand my horizons and expand my goals and try to figure out what other things there are out in life, how to find my passion, how to, you know, and I says, you know, aside from finding some magazines that talk about how maybe wealthy people live, I says, you know, the easiest thing to do is go out and find other people that are super successful in your marketplace and take them out to coffee, get them on a Zoom call. And, you know, when people ask me, they call me and they say, can I spend 10 minutes just asking you some questions? I'm like, great, sure, why not? I love to, you know, share my whatever expertise or knowledge I have. People love that. And so if you really want to figure out how to become a better tennis player, play with somebody better than yourself. You want to figure out how to be a better agent, find an agent who's doing $100 million worth of business and take them out to lunch or get them on a Zoom call and ask questions of them. People love being heard. I don't know what it is. It's a funny thing.
Well, especially during what's going on in the world right now, people are really starved for that genuine connection. So if you can connect with someone on a Zoom call and really build that relationship and just ask them questions about their life and really from that place of inspiration and growth, I think it has huge value.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you guys, once I get that vaccine, all bets are off.
Yeah. You're like coming over, hanging out, cocktail parties.
I'm flying everywhere.
Yeah. So I got to ask, you know, you talk a lot about how you are so passionate about connecting with other agents and really helping them become the best versions of themselves through biohacking, through implementing all these incredible tools. What does it look like for someone to work with you?
What does it look? Well, I'm a really funny guy.
Yeah.
You have to listen to all my stupid jokes. That's one thing. Working with me, I think that there's two points I'll make. One is that the thing that I am proud of is that I'm super passionate about continuing to sell real estate. So I think that a lot of real estate agents, listing agents, like working with me as a coach and leading this mastermind group just because I'm still in the trenches. I'm not in some ivory tower telling people what to do.
And it's called the Agent Unleashed
Collective. The Collective is our group. And so they know that I'm going through the same stuff they are, and I'm learning from them. They're learning from me. And so that's sort of symbiotic right there. But I think the other thing, too, is that I think it's important for people to understand and to take it lightly, to not go too crazy with it. So I joke about it, but I have a lot of fun doing it. Mastermind groups are silly, funny, informative. And, you know, for me, I've always said, if it ain't fun, it's not going to get done.
Oh,
and
I love it.
I love that.
One way that you can make this fun for people and not take it so seriously and not beat them over the head and really work with them. You know, I'm not going to shove anything down anybody's throat. You know, I'm not going to say, you've got to call expires, you've got to work FSBOs, you've got to do this. You know, I try to understand what their personality is all about and figure out what they can do well, what would they like to do well,
right.
What do they want to get into, and what would they find fun, because then they're going to want to do more of it. So
it's
sort of a real symbiotic relationship to answer your question.
I think, yeah, I love that. Because like the way, like when most people think coach, it sounds like a bit intense, or it's like, oh my God, like, of course there's work involved, but if we can make it fun, like for us, we are in the process of looking and having a new business coach. So we are like connecting with different people and seeing who fits. And there's some people who are just like, we know they can help us get to that level in our business, but it's so intense.
Yeah.
And like my heart, I'm like, oh my God, this is so overwhelming.
This is not going to be fun.
We're like, man, we don't want to do that.
At the beginning of every call, it's job on the floor, 30 push-ups.
Yeah,
even our fitness coach isn't like that. He's like super chill. He's like, all right, guys, you're doing great. And I think that's like the world we're moving into, like positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
Being like, you're doing this really well. Keep doing that.
Well, and it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Cam, and that is that you really have to sort of, it's like a symbiotic relationship. You got to develop that rapport with people and get them. You can't just push things down their throat. And I think it's just so important to work with people. Because, you know, the carrot and the stick sometimes just doesn't work.
Yeah, totally.
You're absolutely right.
And like with your book, like Massive Abundance, really, it's like with abundance, it's just all about like attracting it into your life. It's not so much like pushing and shoving and being crazy about it. Like you said, it's like you got to have compassion.
You got to cultivate the space for it.
Cultivate the space for it. Open up your morning. Mm-hmm. Really allow the space for abundance. So where can people find your book, Massive Abundance?
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing I want to say about the book too, that the big thing is everything you just said is correct. But the essence of the whole book too, there's seven steps, is really all of us as individuals, I think it behooves us, and it's really our job, I think, to become so strong in all your life areas that you turn around, it's like a big circle, you turn around and give it all back to people. And that's sort of what I'm doing with my business, and that's what the book is really all about. And I would love for people to get their hands on it. And if they go to my website, which is theagentunleashed.com, I think you guys can talk about it in the show notes.
Yeah.
TheAgentUnleashed.com. Just go to my site, ask me for the book, and I'll send it to you for free.
You got it. You heard it right here, everyone. So all listeners of our podcast will get the book for free. And it's a fantastic read. The last chapter is all about like circulating the energy and circulating the abundance and giving back. So I think that anyone, no matter where they're in their career, if they're like starting off today, they're thinking about becoming an agent, or they're, you know, really, really advanced, they'll still get significant value from it. I know for us as entrepreneurs and business owners, we're going to have that read again because it's like super valuable.
And did I mention I'm a funny guy?
Yes, and totally humble.
Totally humble. I love it. Well, Chris, is there anything else that you know, want to share or anything else you want to add before we wrap this up?
The only thing I will say, and I love basing the foundation of my day and the foundation of my life in gratitude. So if you want to figure out how to get more in your life, just figure out ways to be grateful throughout your day.
I love it. So why don't we end with something we're grateful for? So Cam, what are you grateful for?
I'm really grateful for the abundance of technology that allows us to have conversations like this. Mm. Otherwise, we wouldn't have connected. We wouldn't be having this conversation with you today, Chris. So I'm really grateful what allowed us to create this day.
Yeah. I'm really grateful for our health. I'm grateful that we're all vital, full of energy, that, you know, our loved ones are safe and that we're progressing towards a better future for the world. So I'm really grateful for that. And what about you, Chris? What are you grateful for?
Oh, for me, it's my health. Yeah. When I'm walking, when I'm meditating, for me, it's the health, because that, like I think we said, that the health to me is that's sort of like the foundation of everything. So
absolutely. That's what it's the channel through which we can create everything in the world. Without it, we can't do anything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your contribution today. It's really, you know, we have so many golden nuggets, not just for listing agents, but even like entrepreneurs. Like, I know we're going to go and implement a bunch of the stuff you talked about. We're going to listen to this again. And so thank you so much once again for your time. And we really appreciate you.
Yeah. And I absolutely had a blast, and I love what you guys are doing. So kudos to you.
Thanks so much, Chris. It was great to chat. Have a great day.
Hi, my name is Cam, co-host of the Real Estate Marketing Podcast and co-founder of Pure Forward Media. I sincerely hope that this episode added value to your life and your business. If you are interested in talking with us personally, one-on-one, about your business and systems and structures that we can implement to really serve you and your growth, head on over to getautomatedappointments.com. The link is in the description. You'll get a chance to book a free 30 to 45 minute Zoom call with me and my partner, Casey, where we're going to dive deep into your business and give you systems and strategies that you can implement that our clients and the clients we work with are implementing every day to get appointments on their calendar and spend more time doing what they do best, which is building relationships. So if that's something you're interested in and you want to talk to us, just head over to that website, getautomatedappointments.com. Again, the link is in the description, and we'll talk to you soon.